Yeah, so we're talking about our values. We're on the third one, which is service. These values are six jumping off points. They're not. I can't completely describe them for us, and I especially can't do that in one talk, but they're kind of a jumping off point for everything that we do around here. We believe that they're spiritually significant. We believe that they were taught and modeled by Jesus, and we want our actions to be motivated by these values. So you may recall that I described Oak Street's first value, community, as being the main value that all of our others flow out of. And perhaps, if you were here a couple weeks ago, you sensed that in the way that we discussed Oak Street's second value, the Bible, because we emphasized, above everything else, relationship, right? And that the Bible's main role is to help us know God and help us know how to relate to each other in a way that maybe is unnatural, unnaturally kind, and unnaturally forgiving, but that's what it's about. Today's value is even more closely tied to community, because today we're discussing service. And acts of service, and even more so attitudes that motivate service, are essential elements of true community. The kingdom of Jesus cannot function in a healthy and complete way if its inhabitants, I was going to say citizens, but that implies that they're non-citizens, but anyone who's in the kingdom on accident or on purpose, inhabitants of the kingdom, have to love God by loving other people, right? And that's something that Jesus teaches us. He said to his disciples near the end of his life that if they loved him, they would keep his commandments, which at first, every time you read that, it's just like a little bit like, ooh, I'm not good enough. I can't do it. They would keep his commandments, but he has a new commandment that has nothing to do with rules and a bunch of regulations, but has everything to do with loving one another, right? Keep my commandments, and here's actually that new commandment, love one another. And this love, I believe, is best demonstrated when we serve each other. So, that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for the beautiful day yesterday, just this little break from the rain. Thank you that you've brought us all here. Bring to mind, Lord, times when we have been served and times when we have served others and met you in that. Quiet our hearts and our minds and just let us be receptive to you. Help us to embody your example and be true servants. And just bless this morning, Lord. In your name, amen. So what is service? I Googled it, and the definition of service is basically just helping people, right? Helping others. Service is also an attitude of putting the needs of others ahead of your own. And putting other people first is actually a really big theme in the Bible, so much so that we're really not going to cover it all this morning, but just like get a concordance and look it up, and you can find verses and verses about preferring other people as a way of life. Service is not a long list of jobs at church and at home that you aren't doing enough of. Maybe I'll read that again. Service is not a long list of jobs and chores at church and at home that you aren't doing enough of. But that's sometimes what comes to mind when people talk about service. Service is not a guilt sandwich. Okay? Maybe you've been abused or overworked, because sometimes we do that to people, right? If someone's really willing to serve, well, why don't we just sign them up for everything? And maybe they need a break just like everybody else, but, well, none of the rest of us are going to do that, so maybe they should just keep doing it, right? So maybe you've experienced that, where you've been, like, just too nice. And that's something to grow in, to learn when you need to rest, right? Service is not exclusively fun, because sometimes we can make it kind of glamorous, like, oh, we're serving, calling, like, kind of fun stuff, serving. You guys all right back there? And service is not always a drag. It shouldn't always be a drag. It shouldn't be something that makes us miserable, right? I don't always want to wash dishes at Monday meal. Sometimes I have a terrible attitude. But sometimes I have a really great time, right? And maybe someone just comes in to help that I wasn't expecting to help, and we have a good conversation. Or I just kind of can step away from my own bad attitude for a moment and realize, like, this is a really beautiful thing to be part of, right? So it's a mixed bag. It's a real thing. And I think that service, at least eventually, should have joy in it, right? Maybe at first we don't know how, but later it should bring us joy. Service, like every good thing, starts in the heart. But don't misunderstand, we don't always have to feel it to practice service, right? Because if I wait until I feel it, I'm never going to do it. It's just not going to happen. We can have a bad attitude and practice service imperfectly. We can have a bad attitude and practice service imperfectly, just hoping that eventually we'll do better. Because that's how life is. That's how everything is when we start. As a value, service is something that we can be drawn to and resonate with, especially when we experience it from other people, right? You can all probably think of a moment when someone just thought of you first, right? Maybe it was your parents. Maybe Breck and Kathy. They're like really hospitable people. Maybe it was a neighbor or a coworker. Someone just thought of you. And you experience this little moment of, wow, okay. This is rare. Service is something that we can hold convictions about and choose to practice, even when we don't always know how to serve, or even when we're bad at it. So is serving others something that I'm committed to? And what about you? Is serving others something that you're committed to, something you've chosen to do? Now, if you're a parent, probably already in that sphere, you know, like, because they're pretty helpless, right? But what about other people, you know? We can see service perfectly demonstrated in the words and deeds of Jesus. Philippians 2:7 says that Jesus made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. In John 13, if you want to turn there, John chapter 13, verses 13 through 17, Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet. John 13:13. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And one of the most significant moments of Jesus' life, mere hours before his death, he dresses up like a servant and washes his students' feet, honoring them, and then says, follow this example. And that's not all. Because it's almost as if Jesus understands that when it comes to service, we're really good at guilting each other and manipulating each other. And so in chapter 15, he rounds out the picture. John 15, verses 12 through 17. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. So Jesus says it's not just enough to obey. It's not enough to be servants. He says, you're my friends. You get to know why you're obeying. You get to see the picture. We get to catch the vision. So we don't just serve because we're supposed to, or because someone made us feel bad and so we have to do it now. We serve because we realize that in serving other people, in loving other people more than ourselves, we have an active role in bringing the community of Jesus to this place, right? To the place that we're at. It's a way to choose life. It's a way to choose abundant life. You can use all sorts of metaphors, but you're really sowing into this thing, expecting like a harvest, right? And I think it's a really beautiful thing. And I think it's important that Jesus says, I don't call you servants, I'll call you friends, because if we have the mentality of just like slaves, it would be easy for us to fall under somebody else, right? There's a sense of kind of being beaten down and just taking directions. And so people can be manipulated. Oh, you got to give this much money. Oh, you've got to show up this many hours a week. Oh, all this stuff, right? Because sometimes there's a security in that. Maybe it feels good to be told what to do. But if we're the friends of Jesus, then it's Jesus that commands us, right? He's like shown us the vision. He's shown us his example. And he says, just love each other. So we can look at what we're doing. If I'm feeling guilted into serving somewhere, what does that feel like? Am I feeling like I'm loving people? Do I feel like I'm obligated? Is it bringing life? You know, and sometimes things suck at first. Sometimes they just do. And we got to push through that. But maybe after a time we can evaluate and say, is there any fruit coming out of this? Is there a good thing coming here, or do we need a change? Right? Is there abundant life in this service? So I have a couple stories I want to share from the Gospels. But before I do, I really want to slam dunk the importance of serving others in the eyes of Jesus. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 25. This is a pretty famous parable about the sheep and the goats. Keith Green did a great song about it a long time ago, and it's pretty nice. But I just want to read a small chunk from it. Matthew 25, verses 35 through 40. Oh, I'm sorry, 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, and in this parable he's talking to the sheep on the right and the goats on his left, right? Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. So Jesus, in this parable, lists service to other people as the primary indicator of someone who knows him, right? It's like a big deal. Sometimes we think about service as like a secondary thing, but it's like, it's it, right? That's how you know. Are you loving other people? That's how you know. And especially, I think, he emphasizes here and in other places, service to the poor and the vulnerable and the marginalized. Everyone people don't want to serve, right? There's always this idea of people who are considered lowly being prioritized, right, and being honored. So now we got two stories I want to look at. So go to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And I tend to be a total Martha, right? I just am. If I am busy with something and you want something from me, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be short, maybe a little rude, maybe a little grumpy, because I'm busy. I'm doing it. Not too long ago, I was in the office just trying to finish something up, and Emily came in to say, hey, we're all going to lunch. You want to go to lunch with me? And I was just like, I don't remember what I said, but later she said I was rude. I did not even pay attention. I was just like, yeah, you know, just like, give me a minute, because I was busy. I have a tendency, if I'm doing the dishes after Monday meal, and someone says, oh, John, I really want you to meet this person, to be like, well, maybe bring him back next week, you know, because I'm busy here, right? I don't say that, but I think it. That's a thought, because I'm doing the dishes, right? I want to get out of here before 9 o'clock, you know, that'd be nice. That's a really bad attitude. Yeah, it is honest. And so I can get so wrapped up in the work that I forget what Mary knows, what Mary knew in the story. She knows that service is and must be about people. It's not about the job, it's about the people you're serving, right? And so that's why today isn't just a long list of chores. I considered maybe asking Dan if he had some ideas for stuff that needs to be done around here, or coming up brainstorming some ideas on my own, but I didn't want to do that, right? Because it's actually not about those jobs, it's about the people that are here, right? And then out of that, if I care about the people who come to Monday meal, well, I'm going to be washing the dishes, right? I'm going to be communicating with Peggy to see if she needs any help with something, because Peggy does a lot of the organizing for that meal. If I care about the people who come on Sunday mornings, you know, maybe I'll roll in here 15 minutes ahead of schedule rather than showing up 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late. It happens. We're late and it's fine. But if I'm really prioritizing you guys, especially since my role here, like being here, I want to come a little early. I want to be prepared, right? So I trust that you guys already know that there are opportunities here. And we need each other to pick up the slack. It can't always be one person making coffee or one person in the kitchen or whatever, right? We need to kind of share the load. But we must never forget that people come first. And I think that we don't pay attention enough to realize that listening can really be service, right? Mary is listening to Jesus. She's really honoring her guest by paying attention, by, you know, taking advantage of his visit. But I also want to point out that Jesus doesn't rebuke Martha. He just says, Mary picked the better thing. He doesn't say, you shouldn't be in the kitchen. He's just like, you know, maybe the kitchen can wait. It can all get done. Thankfully, this isn't the only story with these guys. So turn to John chapter 12. Verse 1, John 12, verse 1. And I like this because Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus, who Jesus actually raised from the dead, like they were like buddies. They're like friends. Jesus kind of like sees a few times. There's multiple stories with them. And it's very precious because most of the time you just hear about Jesus and the disciples or Jesus and like fill in the blank of somebody who needs something, right? Someone who's sick, someone who's got a question, someone who's trying to kill him. It's always just like, but he's got these friends. You know, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So this is still the same thing. Martha. Oh, I knew that was going to happen. Martha is still serving. And some people are maybe more inclined to serve than others. Maybe that's just where they feel comfortable. Maybe they like to be a little busy. And that's okay, right? So she's still kind of doing that. And Mary is still really honoring Jesus. And so she breaks out this expensive perfume. But Judas Iscariot, verse 4, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." And so Jesus is really like, be in the present, right? Mary's in the present. I wanted to read this because it shows that service and worship are very closely related. In fact, I don't know that we should even list them separately, but we're so used to having separate ideas of what they are that's what we have. So next week we're going to talk about worship, and it'll probably sound fairly similar to what we've talked about today. I think service falls under the category of worship, right? And so Mary, in serving Jesus, is also worshiping Jesus. So then the question arises, if I'm serving someone in my life, am I worshiping Jesus while doing that? I say, why not? That sounds right, right? If I'm really loving someone, you're serving them. We can worship God by serving others with a good heart. And I think we should take a lesson from Judas here and not taint the beauty and the worship within service by focusing on productivity, right? We shouldn't be tainting Monday meal by only caring about how many meals are served or only caring about the quality of the food. Those are both important. The more people, the merrier. The better the food, I'm not going to say no to that. But are those the main things? Or did someone come in and feel welcome? Did someone come in and feel like they belonged? I have a final thought to do with service. I thought that I was going to open with this, but I kind of forgot about it till the end. I think that one of the fruits of the Spirit is key to practicing service. I want to open it up if anyone has a guess. So the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I always mix up one of them. But any guesses for what one I think is really helpful for service? Patience. You had a preview yesterday, Christine. So, wow. Yes, that's it. Patience. Good work. Patience. How patient are you? And I kind of expected some laughter and some groans. So, you're really letting me down here. Sometimes when people are like, are you patient? You know, we always say no. We always say no because it's like the news. You only remember the bad thing, right? The news never shows like the normal good things that happen all the time. They show like the bad events. And so when I'm thinking about my life, am I patient? Well, this time I was driving and I was a real jerk. And this time I was, you know, talking with a friend and cut him off. And this, you know, all I think about are the negative highlights. But I don't think we should discount ourselves. Let me ask the question differently. How much patience do you have for your hobbies and things that you enjoy? I love drawing. And I can draw until my hand cramps up and my neck kind of hurts. And I don't want to get up and turn on the light, but the natural light has died. Like, I've been here for a couple hours. Like, I can do it. I can do it. But as soon as someone asks me to do something that I'm not in the mood for, patience is gone. But I'm wondering if we can cultivate patience in our lives, recognize that we are patient people when we want to be, and that we've learned that. When you're learning an instrument, you have no patience at the start. You have to practice, and your fingers hurt maybe if you're playing guitar. But then later, it's a joy, right? Because you took the time to practice that patience until now if I pick up a guitar, it's not a drudgery. It's like fun, right? So maybe we can practice patience in serving others. We might be more patient than we think we are, but patience is really learned. To serve others, we need patience for them, and we need patience for ourselves because I want to be a perfect servant, and I'm not. Sometimes I'm going to mess up, and I'm going to be like, well, I had a really bad attitude. That was an opportunity to really be blessed and be a blessing, and I was a real jerk about it, right? And I need patience, and I need grace for that. Are you committed to learning that patience? And I was struck by the last song that Steve played today. there's an element of service that has to do with choosing to suffer. Not like get tortured, but suffer like put other people first, right? There's an element of it involved there. So I was struck by the world behind me, the cross before me. What does that mean? The cross. The cross is Jesus choosing to suffer and die, like the ultimate suffering for the ones he loves, right? He says that like, let's just go there real quick. Back in John 15, he said, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And that's where he calls them his friends. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow, no turning back. Not everyone gets it. Not everyone's going to get it. On a given day, different people will get it and other people won't. Because we're just people, right? If I'm here and no one's doing something, no one's serving, well, I have an opportunity. I've noticed something needs to be done. I have an opportunity to serve. And so do you, right? And in that way, everything's taken care of. And no one's carrying everybody, right? It's all kind of distributed. So those were kind of my thoughts. I didn't read this week. There's some of them on your chairs. It's fairly straightforward. I think the part that it really highlights is that Oak Street believes that God equips all of us, right? And gives all of us different gifts. And those gifts aren't meant to be just had and not developed, right? They're meant to be shared for the good of everyone. So that's just something to think about. We're going to take communion after this prayer. So Lord, help us to be truly patient people. Help us to choose to serve others right now so that when it happens, maybe it's a little easier to do. Give us patience and grace for ourselves and for others. Help us to be truly kind people. Help us to have eyes that look for opportunities to serve, opportunities to listen and pay attention, opportunities to lend a hand, opportunities to take out the garbage and wash the dishes, and all that stuff. We look to you for the joy in that. We know that everything that's good in our lives comes from you. We want good service to be part of our lives, and we know the source of that is you. You made yourself a servant, putting us ahead of yourself, and help us to follow that example. In your name, amen.